this your personal invitation. Come and be part of our fellowship. Come and be part of our church family. I know you'll feel welcome. We're a pretty informal group, and it won't take you long just to feel at home and be part of our gathering. And then over the last, I'm going to say, 4 or 5 weeks, we've been having these baby bottles. You've seen them in the hallway here and downstairs, and it's to raise money for Right to Life, to help support an organization that really is in the trenches for the preborn, to protect those that are the most vulnerable amongst us. And so today is really the last day to bring those bottles, but not quite, because on Tuesday you can still bring them too. If you forget today, Mary Lee will be in the office, and between 9:30 and 1 o'clock, she'll be happy to receive them. But it's real great opportunity for us to be supportive of organizations like Right to Life, and also organizations like Alpha Center, who really are supportive and encouraging to those who have chosen to keep their baby and then need some help along the way. Our call to worship today is from Psalm 68. Sing to God. Sing in praise of His name. Extol Him who rides on the clouds. Rejoice before Him. His name is the Lord, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in His holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing. The rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. Sing to God, sing praise to His name. Let's do that with number 56, standing to sing, "To God be the glory, great things He has done." Number 56. Let's pray together. Father, that's why we're here, to give you the glory, great things you have done. And we are here to praise you and to worship you and to lift up your name. Our prayer is that you would be central to everything we do here, because you alone are worthy of that. And so with the power of your Spirit, rule in our midst even this morning. And Father, your Spirit can touch hearts in a way that nothing else can. And so would you meet each person where they're at. And then may we be strengthened, equipped, nurtured, and nourished for the journey that lies ahead, praising the Lord as we go. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Receive God's greeting. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, men's chorus. Thank you, Paul on the piano, and thank you, Mark, on the drums. And that was beautiful. Appreciate that. And in a way, it's kind of sad because this kind of closes out the season, doesn't it? That's it. Yeah, that's it. Lord willing, you'll all be back in September. And more. That's right. There's room for more, and we'll do it again. We'll do it again, but it's been a wonderful season, and we thank you, Paul, and all who have been involved with the choir. Before we go into our congregational prayer, just want to give you a little update on our church family. Lorraine Strading had kind of a tough week, and she was in the hospital yet for a day, but is home again, but feeling quite fragile. So remember Lorraine in prayer, and of course Dick and the other family members too during this time. And then an update on Brett Roberts, that's Karen's son. This past week he was transferred to Blodgett Hospital, where hopefully he'll be able to engage in some therapy before too long. That really hasn't started yet, but now he's in the right location for when that can start. And then Joe Van Beek, who had foot surgery a few weeks back, is now dealing with an infection, so he's asking for prayers as he deals with that. Ron Engels is experiencing some relief as he's doing different therapy. Ron fell a week ago, really bruised up his shoulder, and it was extremely sore. But some different therapy is bringing some relief. And then Bill Robinson, that's Judy Bergsma's brother-in-law, well, Mark's too, came through the hip replacement surgery well. We were afraid at first of some complications, but that all has turned out well, and just really, really thankful. And then Anthony Noto, and that's Marsha Van Ewen's grandson, he's scheduled for ear surgery this Friday to restore hearing to his left ear. He's just a young man. He's 14 years old. And a year ago, he already had surgery in preparation for what's going to happen this Friday. So this is a pretty long, drawn-out process. And the prayer is just that his hearing could be restored. And then we want to remember Ron and Jenny Benedict and the passing away of her niece, Dusty Jo. Dusty Jo was only in her 30s, and she died from cancer a week ago. So just lots of requests, lots of prayer needs, lots of things going on. But fortunately, we know the one who hears and answers prayer, who is also our Creator as well as the great physician. So let's pray together. On this Father's Day, we come to the one who loves us beyond measure and claims us as his very own children. Move us to cherish that love and submit and surrender to you as an obedient child. You are the perfect Father. We do thank you for our earthly fathers and the way you set up the nuclear family, father, mother, children. Thank you for our Father's love, care, concern, provision, and for telling us about you, who you are, in being the spiritual leader in the home. As children, help us to love and respect our dads, to let them know how dear they are to us. As fathers, help us to be generous in the love we express to our children. May we love them for who they are, not for what they can do. Through your grace, give us peace in our hearts when the relationship with our earthly father was or is rocky and empty. For relationships that are frayed or torn, would you allow healing to happen? And then for fathers who have passed away, may special memories fill our hearts today. We pray for all those for whom this is a hard day, whatever the reason. And we thank you for the blessings also that we have enjoyed. We thank you for the gift of relationships and ask that you would bless and strengthen all of our earthly relationships. We pray that for husbands and wives, for parents and children. And we pray that for siblings, for family dynamics, not just in the home, but also in the church family. To be kind to one another, to support one another, to be loving to one another. Help us to do that well. And so we pray, Father, for your hand in all of these things. We know that you are a relational God. One, you want to be in relationship with us, and then you give the perfect example of the relationship of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We pray, Father, for all those who don't walk with you, for whatever reason. We ask that your Spirit would graciously soften hearts, draw people to you, that they could experience the richness of being in relationship with you, that they wouldn't trade it away for anything else. And Lord, we can't make those things happen, but you can. And just like you softened our hearts at one point to surrender our lives to your Lordship, that's our prayer now for those who at this time are not walking with you. Will you draw them to yourself? We pray for all those with physical needs, and we remember Ron and Barb Engels, Bill Robinson, Larry Rudnick, Anthony Noto, Heath Misiak, Tim C., Darlene Simhowowitz, Linda Rose, Betty Holmes, Joe Van Beek, Lorraine Strading, Brett Roberts, Dee Diekman, Jim Verstrat, Terry Pepper, Jason Olson, Shane Sweeney, Ford Berghorst, Brian Bruxford, Ron and Jenny Benedict, Mark Davis, Doug Pueller, and Brian Cripps. We pray for Fran Schuling, Shirley Gritt, and Roger Simmons, who are either homebound or in a care facility. We remember Mel Vander West on hospice care, and we pray for lots of grace and strength for Connie as she supports and encourages him. We remember all those who are grieving, and we think of Ron and Jenny and the passing of a niece, Dusty Joe. And then we know others too. Father, there's always those who are grieving, and sometimes the loss is just real recent, and others from times from a long time ago. But the pain is real, and so we come to you. We pray for special strength. And on a day like this, it's especially poignant for many people, especially if this is the first Father's Day without Dad. And again, we thank you for also the blessing of relationships. And we thank you for Steve and Rachel and for the time they have spent in our midst and also been really good neighbors. And now as pathways go in separate directions, we just want to entrust them to your care. We ask that you watch over them and bless them. Thank you for the gifts you've given them and for the avenues that you have opened for them. And Lord, may they also be salt and light where you place them. And so we just ask that you go with them and we can entrust each other to your care, being secure in the hollow of your hand, because there is no better place to be. We pray also for all unspoken needs. There's lots of appointments scheduled this week, people waiting for test results, others scheduling things. And then we know that this just doesn't affect the person who's dealing with it, but the family members and the caregivers. And there's just lots of emotional energy and physical energy that goes into all of this. May your grace truly, truly be sufficient. And then we pray for people that deal with emotional struggles, be it depression, anxiety, schizophrenia, other addictions, gender confusion, dementia, whatever it might be. Things that steal our joy, that make life difficult, that just every normal everyday activities can become real challenges. We ask for your grace. We ask for your intervention. We thank you for all of those who work in the medical or the psychological fields, where you bless them and equip them. And Father, we also pray that they acknowledge that there is a Creator and that you are the one who has put all of this together, both in our bodies as well as our minds. Would you, O God, continue to shower your mercy on this land? May our elected officials turn to you for wisdom and guidance. May your protective hand be on them and on our servicemen and women. Would you abate all the division in our land? Teach us how to count our blessings, especially the blessing of being able to gather together and to worship. As our 250th anniversary approaches, we humbly thank you for all of your grace. And equip us to be Christian citizens of our land and of your kingdom. We pray for the world. You often encourage us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for Israel as a nation. And then we pray, Father, for the things going on and the peace treaty, possibly with Iran. We pray that that might come to fruition. We pray for all the tension between Russia and the Ukraine, that fighting. And then we know there's wars and rumors of wars around the whole globe. Our prayer would be that your intervention would bring peace, and especially that people could come together to worship you and to praise you, that they would have the freedom to gather as brothers and sisters in Christ, part of the firm family of God, part of the universal church, and being able to say, Jesus is Lord. To that end, would you keep the local church faithful to the truth of your word? And your word teaches us to protect the most vulnerable, the preborn. And so we pray a blessing on the baby bottle banks, and we thank you for Right to Life, and we thank you for Alpha and all the organizations that are in the trenches protecting those who can't protect themselves. We ask your blessing on the Vanden Bosses as they serve in Mozambique, and thank you for the ministry they have there, both the spiritual ministry and then in the agricultural venue of that, and how they incorporate audio scripture ministries. And we know, Father, that only you can make a difference in people's lives. Nothing else will restore and renew. Father, we pray that you would bless the crops. The spring planting is done. Things are looking good when we drive through the countryside, and we're so thankful for that. We take so much for granted because we're so used to having abundance. But as we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we also know that it's the rain and the sunshine in your hand that produces the crops so that we can have abundance. Without you, we grow nothing. As we study the owner's manual this morning, Holy Spirit, will you instruct us as only you can to be good fathers, to be good mothers, to be good citizens in the kingdom of God, and to be good participants in the family of God. Help us to seek your wisdom in all things. We pray in the name of the one who is the manual and taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For our hymn of preparation, we will stand and sing number 404, Faith of Our Fathers, 404. You may be seated. Dear congregation, Father's Day evokes many different emotions. For those who are fathers, the joy of fatherhood, fun, exciting, scary, busy. And maybe this Father's Day is the first time for you to celebrate as a father. That makes it special. Some of you are uncles, big brothers, or grandpas, but filling the father's role. For some fathers, it's a hard day, dealing with the pain of having lost a child. And for some, sadness, desiring to be a father, and it's never happened. Maybe this is your first Father's Day without Dad. And so it includes a trip to the cemetery, a sad time. Maybe today feels different for you now that you are empty nesters, the stages of life. For some, being a father has become really hard because of divorce. And some of you have become fathers to your parents. That too is a new and unsettling role. And for some children and adults, this is a hard day because your dad was never there for you. Maybe an absent father, maybe an abusive father. Maybe your father died when you were young, and you've always felt cheated because you missed out. There are lots of different scenarios and lots of different emotions on Father's Day. I think it would be true to say that becoming a father isn't that hard. Being an effective and faithful father is really hard. To do that well, to be properly equipped, we need to ask the right question. And so I think it's fitting to turn to the book of Judges. And we're going to look at chapter 13 in the book of Judges. It's page 359 in the Old Testament. 359 in your pew Bible. Chapter 13. We'll read the first 8 verses and then jump to verse 24 and 25. Hear the word of God. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. Now, a certain man of Zorah named Manoah from the clan of the Danites had a wife who was childless, unable to give birth. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, "You're barren and childless, but you are going to become pregnant and give birth to a son. Now see to it that you drink no wine or other fermented drink, and that you do not eat anything unclean. You'll become pregnant and have a son whose head is never to be touched by a razor, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, dedicated to God from the womb. He will take the lead in delivering Israel from the hands of the Philistines." Then the woman went to her husband and said, "A man of God came to me. He looked like an angel of God, very awesome. I didn't ask him where he came from, and he didn't tell me his name. But he said to me, 'You'll become pregnant and have a son. Now then, drink no wine or other fermented drink, and do not eat anything unclean, because the boy will be a Nazarite of God from the womb until the day of his death.' Then Manoah prayed to the Lord, 'Pardon your servant, Lord. I beg you to let the man of God you sent to us come again to teach us how to bring up the boy who is to be born.'" Verse 24. "The woman gave birth to a boy and named him Samson. He grew and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him while he was in Bahan Dan, between Zorah and Eshtol." May God add his blessing to this holy and inspired word. To ask the right question. The key verse in this whole passage is verse 8. "Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, 'Pardon your servant, Lord. I beg you to let the man of God you sent to us come again.'" Come again to teach us how to bring up, in other words, how to raise the boy who is to be born. Now, just a little sidebar here. Being a Nazarite meant that he was dedicated to God from the womb immediately. And there are three key things to being a dedicated child as a Nazarite: no wine or strong drink. Never get a haircut. I like that part. And then 3, no contact with dead bodies, ever. Okay, and if any of that happened, you had to start over again. And if this stuff intrigues you, there's a whole lot more about being a Nazarite in Numbers 6. Number 6 is the whole passage about being a Nazarite, and then it ends with the blessing that we'll close the service with this morning. The Lord bless you and keep you. But anyways, raising children is a really touchy subject. And many of you know that because when you had your first kids and your parents tried to tell you stuff, you're like, "Hey, we know what we're doing." And now many of you become grandparents, and now you're trying to do that with your kids, and they're trying to tell you, leave us alone. And if you don't really know how to raise children, generally those who have no kids have the most answers and can really help. So how do we do this well when it seems so out of reach? And when we look around at the world that we're living in, I wonder, what kind of world are our children and our grandchildren going to grow up in? So many things seem out of control. What's a father to do? And now Manoah lived a long time ago, just under 3,500 years ago. He lived during the time of in the book that we call the time of the judges. And it was probably the most chaotic time in Israel's history in the Old Testament. There was chaos in the land. There were wild times. And what made it so chaotic? Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And it says, and there was no king in the land. There was no higher authority that people submitted to or were obedient to. When people do what feels good or right to them, things soon fall apart. If feelings and preferences become our guiding light. And so our times have a lot in common with Manoah's times. And you know, Proverbs 14:12 already addresses this, and it says, there is a way that seems right to a person, but in the end, it leads to death. In the end, it leads to destruction. So Manoah recognized the chaos of his culture, and he asked the right question. He asked the right question when he found out that they were going to be parents. And when he found out he was going to have a son, I just thought that was an interesting little sidebar. He didn't ask, well, how am I going to know he's a boy? Because in today's culture, we would ask that. How do I know if he's a boy or a girl? He didn't have to ask that question. He asked, can you send the man of God to teach us how to raise our child? Today, we might like to ask that same question and say, how do we do that? And I've heard people say, well, parenthood comes without a manual. But is that true? Is that true? Maybe we just don't like the manual that's been provided. Yeah, true, maybe we wish we could do what Manoah did and said, where is this man of God? But you know what? We can. We can, because the Holy Spirit will teach us how to live. The Holy Spirit will also teach us how to raise our children. A couple of weeks ago, we had Pentecost, and we talked about the different roles of the Holy Spirit. And that is, one of them is to instruct, to teach. And so he's available. But the bigger question is, are we willing to let him be that teacher? Or would we rather subscribe to worldly wisdom? Now, no doubt, it's hard to raise children at any time, but I think this day and age is really hard. And then the power and the influence of social media. That would be YouTube, TikTok, Snapchat, Instagram. Many times it feels like we have lost control of our own household because of all this external influence. And then sometimes it feels more like the children are raising the parents, where the children are calling the shots, where they are controlling the parents. And then we wonder why we have a lot of children that feel so entitled. We need to look at what we are doing behaviorally. The continuing moral decay of our nation makes it hard to live lives that are holy, lives that are set apart for God. Like Peter talks about, he says we are called to be peculiar people, to be set apart, to do things differently than the world does. Our goal isn't to fit in. Our goal needs to be, how do we honor our Heavenly Father And how do we be obedient to Him? We are truthfully bombarded by sinful things in our culture presented as acceptable or even desirable. And then on top of all of that, there's this one thing that life is busy. Time. I just looked this up, so I don't know how accurate it is, but it says the average time that an adult spends on social media per day is 2.5 hours. So the extra time we do have for kids, we're often too tired or irritated to give a lot of ourselves to our children. I remember years ago I worked as a counselor, and we had quite a few teens that came from an affluent area. And what was interesting is that many of them came in and they were quite angry. And it was like hard to understand. Why would you be angry? You have everything this world has to offer, right? You have the vehicles, you get to go on your trips, your spring breaks, all of that stuff. And the underlying theme was always, we got everything we want, but nobody has time for us. Nobody has time for us. That was a reoccurring theme. I understand many fathers are just trying to keep up, putting bread on the table, that it really is a rat race. And even with moms kicking in and two-income families, that adds a lot of stress. I go back to counseling again. We also work with some of them with Child Protective Services. And the prime time for children to be abused was between 5 and 7 o'clock at night. And that's when people came home from work. That was the prime time. That was where the bulk of the calls were. So, there's lots of stress. And then for many of these kids, they were raising themselves because there was nobody home. And the other thing is, and this is where we're always in kingdoms in conflict, so many activities take place on Sunday now that they interfere with worship attendance. I wished on January the 1st everyone would go through their calendar, whatever that looks like, if it's handheld or on your computer, whatever you do, and block out every Sunday and say, no, this is spoken for. Isn't that what you do with other stuff? Oh, this is when we have this sporting event. This is when we got to go here. This is when we got to go there. Wouldn't it be something if we did that for Sundays? And said, no, Sundays, especially Sunday mornings. See, Satan is never satisfied. First, he took away Wednesday nights. And then he worked on the evening service. And now he's working on Sunday morning. Don't kid yourselves. This is spiritual warfare that we are dealing with. And it's not going to go away. And so Sundays, which also was meant to be a day of rest, now often ends up being more stressful because we're so busy going here, going there. And understand that as parents, you don't always want to say no to the kids because that adds more stress. You know, there was real wisdom when God created, and He created in 6 days and said the seventh day He rested. We really need a day off. We need a day to set aside all the labors and the busyness. And I realize there's certain tasks that need to happen. I understand that. But to spend time together as family. I know for myself growing up, Sundays were just a really special day, especially around the table. And there'd be lots of people around the table. And you know, you already smelt the roast when you were leaving. You smelled it when you came home. And then you enjoyed it that Sunday and probably the day after too. But it was that community time with family, visiting together, connecting. And many of you, I've heard you tell the stories about after church, you would go to grandma and grandma's house, and you would have coffee and cake or cookies or something like that. But it was community. That's completely different than rushing here, rushing there, doing this, doing that. And I think many times what we're doing is we're just feeding spiritual demons to try to keep them happy. Rather than being willing to say, no, this is what's best for us. This is what we need to do. This is what is healthy. So, what's most important in raising children? What's a father to do? Well, here's the target. The number one purpose in raising our children is to make sure that they carry the story of God's goodness. That's Jesus being their Redeemer. To be able to carry that from one generation to the next. It only takes one generation to lose that. I'm going to give a real simple example. My parents were immigrants. They spoke Dutch fluently. That's what we grew up with in the home, so they spoke it, they wrote it, they read it, they do all of that. I'm considered bilingual, but I'm not real good at writing it, but I can read it and I can speak it. My son doesn't speak any Dutch. Three generations. Simple example of language. But in our relationship with the Lord, it works the same way. It can be lost that quickly. That's why we read in Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7, God speaking through Moses, "These commandments I give you today, these commandments I give you today," okay? God speaking through Moses to the fathers, "and put them on your heart, and then impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road." In other words, when you're in your car, when you're driving around, talk about this stuff. When you lie down, so when you go to bed, talk about it. And when you get up in the morning, saturate your day with "who I am," is what God is saying. Use every opportunity to tell your children about who Jesus is and let them see that he is real in your life. A dad's participation in the life of the family is huge. And in raising children, here's a key item. As a father, what is important to you? What's important to you? What values and beliefs do you espouse that you feel are so important that you want to make sure your children carry these on? That there's nothing more important than these particular values. And then ask yourself, is this stuff of the world, or is this stuff that has eternal value? We spend hours teaching our kids stuff, and that's good. That's part of the role. But it includes stuff like hunting and fishing and playing sports and things like that. And we want them to be successful, and we want them to get ahead and maybe even have more success than we had. And that's great. Not trivializing that at all. But do we ever focus more on the American dream than on God's dream for us? Are we just as intentional and deliberate about Bible stories and Bible knowledge? Teaching our kids how to read their Bible and how to pray. And as a dad, do they hear you pray? Do you pray over your children? Do you pray with them? And that works with grandchildren too. Do they see that? Do they experience that? Are you concerned about whether or not they have a relationship with Jesus? That goes beyond just knowing who he is, but is he their Savior? Is he their Redeemer? And what's the foundation to a lot of this? They're watching you. And they're looking at you and to see, is this important to mom? Is it, or to dad, is this important to mom? Because if it's not important to you, they'll quickly figure out, I don't know how important this is. Years ago, I'm going to say 20 years ago now, so it's an older survey. They did a survey about college kids that after high school went to college, and the percentage of those who walked away from the faith and why. The number one reason was, you know what? Even though we kind of grew up in a Christian home, I never thought this was important to my parents. So why would it be to me? Sometimes we worry about that our kids aren't listening. Worry more about that they are watching. And they'll learn a whole lot more from what they see than from what they hear. So take the opportunities to pray with them, to pray over them. Meal times. That's another thing, as meal times have been so distorted and people just eat alone or they eat in front of the television, there's something completely different to that from eating around the table, somebody asking a blessing on the food, having table devotions, reading some scripture, and a closing prayer before we leave the table. Our lives have become chaotic. But it's become, we're so used to it, that it's almost become normal. And we don't think that much of it. But what it's really doing is it's destroying our families. When there's crisis in the home, when there's things going on, simple example would be like a week ago when the tornadoes were coming. Would you gather your children? Maybe you're down in the basement now. Would you say, let's pray? Let's pray. The Lord controls the wind and the waves. Let's pray. Ask Him to protect us. Or do we just tune into Channel 8 and see what we should do? Where's our focus? How do we handle everyday things? Dads, turn to the Bible with your kids to study how we should live. The Bible has lots of wisdom in it. A good place to start is Proverbs. It's a great book, including the spanking. I know that's not popular, but I think doing away with it has not helped our culture, has not helped society. So that's the meaning of verse 8 in today's reading from Judges 13. To deal with life's challenges, we have to know our Bibles. And the Old Testament prophet already said, for lack of knowledge, my people go astray. If we don't know what's in the Bible, we can't incorporate it, and we certainly can't implement it in our lives. And just a little sidebar here. Fathers, how you treat your wife and women in general will have a strong impression on your sons and your daughters. Their sexual behavior, their dating styles, their language, their entertainment choices, what's appropriate in God's eyes versus what's acceptable by world standards, you influence all of that. Ask yourself, what do they see? What do they see in how I live? Dad, you have a lot of influence over the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual well-being of the home. You really are a key player. Fathers, are you raising your children with this in mind, that they are watching you because they really do want you to be their hero? And especially when they're young, they're watching because they want to be like you. Because imitation is the greatest form of flattery. And then one more point to being an effective father. Your children have to know that you love God and love them. That you love God and love them. Not just that they know it, they have to hear it. It has to be said. Say it to your sons, say it to your daughters. Tell them you love them. Give them a hug. Let them know how important they are in your lives. And children, tell your dad how much you love him. And yes, maybe you're an older child, maybe you're 40 or 50 and your parents are still living. Tell them today, I love you. I love you. Give them a hug. I see lots of tears at gravesides and lots of regrets because I should have. If only. I wished I would have. Today is an opportunity. Don't let it slip away. Don't let it just pass by. So encourage your dad. Also honor him. And dad, you are so very important in the life of your children. There is absolutely no substitute for a hands-on, committed, loving dad. In a politically charged age like ours, some would have us believe that dads are unnecessary. They are wrong. 100% wrong. Don't ever buy that lie. That is not from the Bible. Nothing can replace a father in a child's life. A child needs a father and a mother. Now, through special grace, many single moms have done a tremendous job of raising children under challenging circumstances. And I haven't focused much on that today because the mothers also deserve lots of applause. But if you want to hear more about that, go back to the Mother's Day sermon because we focus more on that at that time. So I'm not minimizing, not trivializing, but there's only so much you can say in a limited time. Today is a special day to celebrate our fathers. but they should be appreciated every day. Fathers, like Manoah, keep asking God for wisdom on how to raise the children that He has entrusted to you. Ultimately, they still belong to Him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to You. We thank You for who You are, that You are our Creator, and that You are also the one who gives us wisdom in how to live life. And so we're so grateful for the inspired written Word. Help us always to see that it's the Scriptures that give authority to life. And so help us to know what they say so that we can live well. Thank You for all the things that You have blessed us with and how You have equipped us. And so then, through Your presence in our lives, will You bless our efforts. And Father, we do thank You for families. We thank You for parents, for moms, for dads, for grandparents, for extended family, and the beauty of relationships and the blessings that those bring. And yes, acknowledging that sometimes they're just not easy. But we also know that You will walk with us. So we thank You for this story out of Judges 13. And what wisdom for Manoah to say, I want to talk to the man of God on how to raise my son. May that always be our endeavor to talk to You on how to raise our children, our grandchildren. Father, is there anything I said that didn't please You? Would You delete that from our memories? And for the rest, would You inscribe it with indelible ink on our hearts? As we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. We'll continue worshiping our God by standing to sing number 562, Be Thou My Vision. And we'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4. 562, Be Thou My Vision. You may be seated. At this time, the deacons will wait upon you as the morning offering is received. pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the blessings you pour out on us. And the gift of life is one of the greatest blessings. And then you are also the one who redeems life. Thank you for the privileges that you allow us to be aware of, as well as engage in with you when your Spirit works in our hearts. And so thank you again for all your blessings. Thank you for the opportunity you give us to be stewards of them. And then, Father, keep us faithful in what you've called us to do so that we honor you in all of our actions. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus, that wonderful, beautiful gift. Amen. After the benediction, we will sing number 394, Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Take great comfort in knowing that. Receive God's parting blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his countenance towards you and grant you his peace, both now and for all of eternity. Amen.
This brings to a close this week's broadcast from Eighth Reformed Church in Wyoming, Michigan. We hope that you have received a rich blessing from this time spent around the Word of God. If you're not able to join us in person, we invite you to tune in to Jethro FM each Sunday morning at this time. You can also listen to a past service on our website at eighthchurch.org. That's 8thchurch.org. Until next Sunday at 9:30, it's our prayer that the Lord will watch over you and keep you in his care.